Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
He was just talking about this whole scripture pertaining to, you know, all things that come through fasting and prayer, and that actually where we're going today. So we're in the right place, okay? We're going to Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. You'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me. Now, I'm getting used to a new Bible. This is a new one. Not new context, just a new outside, okay? It's not off the internet or anything like that. So just... And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" And whatever it is seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. "So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth.
So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "Approximately 2 hours."
And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Immediately the father of the child cried out and with tears said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief."
And Jesus saw that the people came running together.
Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He's dead." And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" This 29 together. So he said to them, "This guy cannot come out with prayer and fasting." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, today we're about to learn, or at least to take a journey into your word, where there are some things that we would ask you for that only comes out through the persistent pursuit of you, through prayer and through fasting, but it's not for the attitude of this particular thing or the road of it, but Lord, it's our dedication to believe you for what your word has said. And Lord, today as we preach your word, I pray that we would discover the things about ourselves that would inhibit us from really, really believing your word for what it actually says and transforming our lives, that we would trust and put confidence in you. So Lord, today I preach your word today with the confidence of knowing that you're able to deliver, you're able to set free, you're able to release people who've been in bondage all their lives. And today is the day of their victory. I proclaim today by the power of the Holy Spirit that people who walked in these doors, walked in here bound, will walk out of these doors free. We proclaim these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. The first thing I want to tell you about this time of fasting and prayer that we have, you say, "Well, you've done this for years, and is it a tradition?" No, it's not. It's a refocusing. Because as the year goes by and we get so much caught up in different things, we have to kind of refocus to what is our real purpose? What does God really want to do with us? But my introduction kind of says this. Before you excuse yourself from fasting because of medical or other reasons, that would seem to be somewhat reasonable to reconsider in regard to fasting. I would like to point out to you as a disciple of Jesus, his words that says that when he said, when you fast, not if you fast. So it's an assumption that somehow that we'll take some time where we'll just put ourselves on the latter part and put God to the forefront. That's what fasting is really all about. It's forgetting about you and thinking about somebody else. It's bringing your flesh into submission to the power of the Spirit. So these words work well in concert with the phrase, when you pray, which would cause you to assume that these are the basic elements of expectation for those who would claim to be followers of Jesus. So it's not one of these things where it's just like, you know, for all the superheroes or the super Christians, they fast. The other ones, they don't. Here's my questions for you today. Does the thought of fasting invoke the immediate fear that you will not be able to be involved in it? Well, I'm not going to do that. I want to say something to some people right now who've already dismissed as something as this conceptually that you're not going to participate in. I'm going to tell you to your face, you're wrong. And if you look at the little flyer we put in there, it's not about the food you don't eat. It's about the attitude you have toward what your spirit needs. You say, oh, I can't even imagine. Some of you are already sweating about coffee. Well, you find after you've been off of it for a few days how addicted you really are. And see how sometimes we get into unhealthy habits. If nothing else, it'll be good to purge your body of a lot of stuff you had in it. But that's another story. Let me move on to number two. Does the thought of a spiritual involvement beyond church attendance at a worship service seem to you as being unnecessary or radical devotion to church involvement? In other words, some of us, we come to church, you know, week after week. We don't mind the praise and worship as long as it doesn't go too long. As a matter of fact, you got it timed perfectly. Some of you come at quarter after because a little dab will do you. And some of you get said, oh, I love that. When they get to the last part, I just like to enter into that. Some of us, we have pre-described to ourselves how much of Jesus we need. And I want to tell you, you are absolutely 100% wrong. You'll never get enough of Jesus. You never will. Let me move on to number three, and then we'll jump into this thing. Are there things in your life that you desire a breakthrough that you sense will require more spiritual engagement than you have ever experienced before? I'm talking about breakthrough. I'm talking about the things that you've struggled with. I'm going to make a statement right now that for some of you, and I've said that in the very beginning of the service, some of you will walk out these doors completely delivered from something you struggle with all your life today. What? How can you say that? We haven't fasted yet. See, that's when you make the fasting the idolatrous part of the whole issue. When you made a commitment to do what Jesus told you to do, it starts today. It doesn't 21 days from now, oh, I'll be all set free. No, honey, it starts today. So the day you declare that Jesus is Lord, the day that you declare that he's the only one who can do it, is a day you're going to be set free. Amen. We're just kind of following through on what that commitment was all about. Then you find out how committed you are to the things of God. Well, let's get into this thing. When fasting and prayer is the only answer, and we'll go read verse 29 again, it says, and he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. What does it mean? Well, fasting is more than the exercise of willpower to get your desired results. How many of you have never been on a diet? Never been on a diet. Never ever in your entire life. God bless you. Because what a diet is, it's about willpower. It's about not having cookies. Donuts. It's being able to drive by Starbucks without stopping. But I'll tell you about willpower. There's one thing about it. Willpower stops when you stop trusting in the fact that you can do it. It's willpower. And when your will says, I'm going to have it, I don't care what anybody thinks, that's how much willpower you've got. Well, we fast because we desire to rearrange our priorities toward the things that really matter. That's what it's a rearrangement of priorities. for things that really matter. It's not the fact of persecuting yourself, but all of a sudden you prioritize something that is better than what you've been doing up to this particular point. Isn't it better for you to put a greater focus on Jesus than on yourself? Some of you don't agree with that. Some of you have done this, draw a circle and you stand in the middle and you're in the center. No, that's not how it works. But it's a reprioritization. The next thing about it is that we realize that Jesus is the answer to every problem or issue that we face. Either he's the answer or he's not. And I think some of us apply Jesus to only certain situations. Don't you know? He's all encompassing and everything you need is in Jesus Christ. Everything you need. The Bible says, in him we live, we move, and have our being. If you're living outside of Jesus, you don't know who he is. Because he's everything. Well, what about this? We realize that the spiritual warfare is real, and the only power of the Holy Spirit, only the power of the Holy Spirit can overcome the devil. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare later on this year. But just for now, just to give you kind of an insight of what that means, is that you are right now in combat with the enemy. And he's doing everything he can do to get into your mind, get in your heart, get in your spirit, to take you out. I said, well, I don't really believe that. I think it's a matter of, no. You have an enemy who is seeking to destroy you. He doesn't like you at all. Well, and some of you just, I just can't imagine someone not liking me. Now that's another problem. I can't fix that one for you. That's another story, okay. But fasting is always accompanied with fervent prayer, which means this, that Jesus' time that was spent in the wilderness prepared him to confront the attacks of the enemy. Remember, before Jesus launched into his ministry, the Bible said for 40 days he fasted and he went into the wilderness, led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. I want to tell you, for the next 21 days, because you've declared yourself to be involved in the fast, to whatever level it happens to be, and I hope you'll read that little insert in there, that it's really not about things that you're not going to do, but it's about what focus that God puts in your life. But Jesus is being led about in the wilderness, and his fast was this. No food, no water. And you say, have other people done that? Yes, there are people on record that have gone without food and water for long periods of time. And people have fasted for 40 days at a time. It's happened before. So that's not anything unique. But it's not about that. It's about the confrontation of the devil in the midst of this wilderness, that he's going there with the express purpose of overcoming the flesh, that the ministry, when he comes out of there, he's filled with the power of the Spirit to do things that he couldn't do before. I guarantee you, if you go in this with the right spirit, when you come through this particular time of fasting, it will show you and expose to you things about yourself, of things that you never thought of, things you couldn't do before, and now by empowered by the Spirit, you're able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what it's about. Well, fasting will give us insight and wisdom to overcome temptations of our flesh to achieve spiritual purpose. It's a disciplinary thing that things you say, I haven't gone without coffee for a week. Now some of you say that's kind of trite, but it's big for some folks. Because honestly, I won't have you raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. But some of you cannot start your day without coffee. You are mean as can be. But when I get my coffee in me, I'm a whole different person. So you got a bean allergy or control in your life. The magic is in the cup as you stir. And all of a sudden you become alive again. Anybody remember Winchell? Winchell's Donuts. Some of you, your car couldn't go past Winchell's. Car just said automatically, just turn right in there. And the lady behind the counter knew exactly what you wanted, that cruller. Buttermilk cruller. I need one for now and one for later. I'm trying to help you today. To realize fasting will give us insight and wisdom to overcome temptations. that we've had for years. Well, what about this? We will gain insight and power to rebuke the enemy and put him to flight with the power of the word of God that will be within us. I'll tell you what, you will be bolder than you've ever been in your life because you'll see things for what they really are. Things you thought were, well, that's kind of coincidental. You say, you know, that's the devil incarnate. And in the name of Jesus, I bind you, spirit of you know, anger or frustration or whatever it happens to be, or even when you're having trouble at work, you don't have to say it out loud, but in your spirit, say, not today. Well, we'll get to the heart of this story in a moment. Fasting will reveal who or what really controls us. Notice I said who or what. It's one or the other. I think oftentimes we operate from a point of anger and frustration, and we put it off on other people. My dad told me something many, many years ago. He said, no one can make you angry. They can just bring out the anger that's in you. And that's true. All of a sudden, they say that one thing, and you just light up like, I don't know what. But you know, but when we have the peace of Jesus within us, when we have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, there is nothing you can say, there's nothing that you can do that's going to make me get out of control, because I'll be controlled and operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if the devil's in you, I can rebuke him out of you, and you can be the nicest person on this planet because you get to take charge. But once you let the enemy take charge of you, you're out of control. And that's what fasting is about, is letting you reprioritize who's going to rule your life. We will gain insight and power to rebuke the enemy and put him to flight in the power of the word of God. Well, fasting will reveal who controls us. Fasting is more than behavioral modification as it relates to food. When I go through this fast, I'm going to be delivered from donuts for the rest of my life. Never again will I have a raised donut with glaze on it. Bye-bye. No! It's something that Jesus wants to impart to you by his grace. Well, willpower only works until the day we surrender to the power that is greater than us. In other words, we must take note of when Jesus was fasting that is being led by the power of the Spirit in the wilderness, but also the Holy Spirit is the power that will sustain and guide us on our spiritual journey to gain power to destroy the works of the devil. Now, here's one thing I want to tell you. When, I shouldn't say, as a matter of fact, I should say even greater than that. As we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, the word that we oftentimes say, it often seems a little bit weak. It says, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Well, it's a nice conversation, right? But I want to tell you what the Lord is talking about when he says the word greater. It means that you are never to live under intimidation by anything the devil does or says. The word greater there says that you have the power to overcome regardless of what the circumstances look like. Some other people are warming up to that. I'm going to give them a moment or two. Because the intimidating factor of the enemy says that, oh, you're not going to overcome that. Some of you walked through these doors today a slave to some sort of addiction. Could have been an opioid condition. It could be some other type of, I don't really care to name all the different ones. But the Bible says, the greater power of Jesus, when you accepted Jesus into your life, has the power, if you allow him to overcome that which has helped you captive all of this time. Today, we're going to declare who is actually in control of your life and allow him to have free reign over everything that's within you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, that means that we'll gain the power that we will gain from fasting. We'll confront those powers of darkness. And that means the discipline of fasting is is to make the right things easy and the wrong things hard. If you're going to write something down, write that one down.
That's it.
It's to make the right things easy and the wrong things hard. What does that mean? It means that the right thing's easy. That means instead of you struggling with, do I have time to read the word? It'll be the most important thing in your life. It's the first thing you want to do every morning. It'll be easy for you to do that because you'll realize that that is what sustains your life. That's what gives you power. That's what gives you joy. That's what gives you freedom. That's what gives you life eternal. And it'll make it easy. Oh, I couldn't possibly. In the same way that some of you think coffee is your life, the Word of God will be your life. You won't be able to start your day without it or without Him. It'll seem wrong. It'll seem out of control. It'll seem out of character. And it'll make that the easiest thing. You'd rather have, oh, Lord, where is my Bible? I got to read something. Really? But when it comes to the wrong thing that's been holding you all this time, you say, why would I do this thing and sin against God? One particular person, Joseph, was in Potiphar's house. And he'd been blessed beyond measure. You don't know, some of you don't know the whole story. I can't repeat the whole story to you. It'd take too long. But those of you who do know the story, that he was in Potiphar's house and this cougar comes after him. I'm not talking about an animal. I'm talking about Miss Potiphar. Says, you sure is a handsome boy. Them muscles just bulging and carrying on. Yes, she did. She came on him. And so, first of all, he had the integrity to say, he says, you know, the master of this household, I would never do something behind my master's back. But he says, there's a power greater than that in me. How could I do this thing and sin against God? Amen. The power that's going to hold you on the right track is when the Holy Spirit has a hold you to this particular point that you would not want to go against God. That's when the Holy Spirit is activated. No. You ain't worth hell. You're not worth sacrificing my relationship with Jesus. So I don't have to argue with it. It may get you in the wrong place, but I'll tell you one thing about it. When you realize that the Holy Spirit is in control, that's what fasting is for, is to make the right things easy and the wrong things easy. I can't do that. That's a waste. Well, when we are operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we can confront the enemy and put him to flight. The next thing, our resistance toward the devil will be our ability to declare the word of God over it. And then the word of God declares the way of the transgressor is what? I thought it was easy. The way of the transgressor is hard. At the time you think it's easy, but when you see the consequences, it's hard on you. Because you never thought it would lead to that. I need to take to this next place, which is going to really define fasting for you. The fast that the Lord has chosen has the power to bring deliverance. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 8. I'm going to read this one with you. This is good. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Now watch what's going to happen. To loose the bonds of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. Be careful, I'm about to ask you a question. How many of you are living under something that you'd like to be set free from today? You know, I said not tomorrow, today. How many of you are living underneath something you'd like to be set free from? Now, if you want to keep it, go ahead. But you want to be set free today. Look at me. I'm looking all over this room. It's going to happen today. No, it's going to happen today. Oh, go ahead and applaud the Lord. It's going to happen today. He said, how do you know? Because the Spirit of the Lord in this fasting situation, today starts the first day of the rest of your life that you no longer have to live under bondage to that which has kept you captive because you've committed yourself to do what God has called you to do and you're going to be set free. Now watch this. The fast ordained by the Holy Spirit will break the bondage of all addictions. That means there is no addiction that is not subject to the power of the Holy Spirit to bring freedom and deliverance. There's not an addiction you have right now that's not under subjected to the power of the Holy Spirit. None. I was going to tell you to bring them out of your purse and lay them up here. I might do that later. Don't be looking at me funny. It will give you the power to overcome the things that have held you hostage for as long as you can remember. Some people have used the excuse, all of my family's like this. We're all out of control. We all have bad tempers. We all have mean spirits. That's just the way we are. Well, I want to tell you, it's time to get over it. It's time to let go. Those cycles of sin that you have allowed to run rampant in your life, you're not only destroying yourself, you're destroying everybody else that's associated with you. It's time to let go. What about this? It will break off the curse that has been a carryover from soul ties and family members. Well, the day that you give up, God will show up. Repeat after me. The day I give up, God will show up. Say it again. The day I give up, God will show up. You know what that means to give up? It means the fact that you realize that you cannot do it without him. You say, I give up. God is going to do it today. And you know how he does it? By you yielding yourself over to him. That's how it works. Well, we're going to get into this a little bit deeper. So our addictions are confronted by Jesus' presence that we can expect there will be a reaction. Now go back to chapter 9, verse 20, and this is what it says. And then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Now I want to tell you what will happen. When you make your commitment that you're going to change, the devil will act up. He'll give you every reason why you cannot change. Matter of fact, it'll get worse than it's ever been before. He'll act up before the Lord thinking that he can intimidate Jesus to not do something. So they brought the young man to Jesus, and he just fell out. He's foaming at the mouth. And people say, "Whoa, what are you going to do now?" Watch this. I love it. I love it. And so he says, how long has it been with him? He says, from his child. Now watch this. And often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. I want you to take one word out of this. Water into the fire to do what? Destroy him. Let me tell you something. If you continue on the path that you're on, the devil will destroy you. He has a little by little. But his ultimate goal is to destroy him. But listen to this. So he says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. The enemy will try to intimidate us by trying to make us think that things will not change. Here's the issue. You've tried to change before. It didn't work. Now, here's the part I want to deal with, the it that didn't work. What was it that didn't work? What was the it? In most cases, the it that didn't work was your willpower to not do it again. Your willpower is not strong enough against the forces of the enemy. But the Holy Spirit is an intimidator of those things, and he sets you free forever. You don't have to rely on willpower. You rely on his power. Turn willpower into his power. Whom the Son sets free is free. That means that you don't have to monitor this any longer. You submit to the power of the Son of God, and you are free indeed. Well, a little bit more. We must be ready to claim our right to walk in victory because of the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Romans 8:11. I love this scripture, and I think I've got a greater insight on it right now. But if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, I'm going to stop right there. Here's the question. What spirit was there that could bring something dead back to life? The Holy Spirit. And the Bible says here, but if the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I'm going to speak life over you today. The same life that brought Jesus back from the dead. And that life that is illuminated in you will set you free from all that has kept you captive all your life. Come on. Already the devil whispers, oh, that's not going to happen. Let me finish this real quickly. We must lay claim to the word of God as it relates to the quickening power that will overcome death, the enemy that's trying to impose on your body. What about this? The new life of Christ is released through fasting that we gain by overcoming the works of the devil in the wilderness of temptation and doubt. Because what happened to Jesus once he came out of the wilderness? Here's the devil. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You know when the devil does stuff like that? When you're hungry. Now, I wanted to show you what Jesus didn't say. Satan, get away from me. I'm not hungry. I'm fine. You don't have to lie to have the victory. He didn't say, I'm not hungry. Well, you know what he said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You got to know how to talk to the devil when he comes after you. As he said, oh, no, not today. It's not going to happen because I'm not living by my flesh. I'm living by the power of the word of God, who's the flesh being manifest in me, who's able to do all things, who's able to overcome, who's able to conquer all the power of the enemy. And if he wants me to have food, he'll deliver me a gourmet meal right in front of me. But I don't need anything from you. Well, I'm getting stirred up. Help me, Jesus. I'm starting to believe this myself. We must be serious about walking in victory that's demonstrated through fasting. You got to be serious about this. Fasting will undo heavy burdens that you've carried for a long time. This is another group of folks in here. I want to help you. How many of you have been carrying something for a long time? And you want to get rid of it today. Oh, the rest of you, oh, you're doing good. Great, God bless you. Oh, I see somebody else join the club. But you've been carrying it for a long time. Undoing heavy burdens. You know what happens? You can get used to anything. Yes, you can. So, oh yeah, here's this burden, I'm just going to carry it. This is my lot in life. Oh, Jesus, just help me carry it another day. But God wants to set you free. Well, it means that we are to cast all our cares upon him. He cares for us. And when we reach a point where we think things are hopeless, there's no way out, Jesus lifts the burdens from our shoulder. But what about this? God will deal with things in an instant that have kept you in bondage for years. I'm feeling faith for somebody for that today. Here's another little piece, and we're just about done. When we fast as the Lord desires us to, it will let the oppressed go free. Oppression is one of those types of things. It's not like depression. Depression, oftentimes, you just kind of just go so introverted, you don't really know what to do. Oppressed people many times can function. But let me give you a little definition here. Oppression is a tool of the enemy to convince people that bondage and addiction is their only way of life. You get used to it. You get used to not feeling good. You get used to a cloudy day. You get used to, you know, things that's not being quite up to par. What about this? Oppression will often reach back into family generational behavior that is passed on to generation. All our families like this. We're all just kind of like blasé. We don't get excited about anything. How about this? The lack of Christian heritage in families leaves little hope for salvation to come to the present generation. I put that in there for a reason. Unfortunately, many of you that are in this room today did not have a Christian family heritage. And as time goes on, less and less people will have one. Unless the church rises to the occasion and begins to proclaim who Jesus is. Now, listen, hear me out on this. I can tell some Bible stories here for some people that a good portion of people that are over, or should say, under the age of 35 or 40, we have no idea. What's he talking about? Daniel and the Lions Den? What was that? Is that a new rock group? Because you don't know. And so the oppression will come upon you because you have no knowledge of a God that's able to deliver and set people free. Let me give you this last little piece and we're done, for at least for today. Jesus brings deliverance that is lasting. Mark chapter 9, verses 25 through 27. And actually, When Jesus saw the people came running together, they rebuked the unclean spirit, the dumb spirit, and commanded to come out of him and enter him no more. This is the part I want you to get. Enter him no more. Aspirin is for temporary relief. You hear what I said? It's temporary relief. What's that other one, that blue thing you take for 12 hours? What is that? What's that one? Aleve. So 12 hours is better than two. But I'll tell you, in 12 hours, you're going to need another one. How about being delivered where you don't need to take it anymore? How about having it all gone? How about being in a place where God has set you free? Come on. Well, got to take you to a scripture here in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. This is what it says. These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Now, that word demons, some people get really scared over that. He said, I had a demon. And? Oh, you gonna keep it and give it a different name? Listen to me. You didn't go out looking for a demon. He came to you. And he had a parking place, and you didn't have any better sense to let him in the door. But I'll tell you what, the same way he came in is the same way he's going to go out, but it'll be with the power of God sending him out. And you know what? And he can't come back no more. We're going to serve an eviction notice toward demonic powers that have held you in oppression, that have held you in depression, that have held you in all these types of places, that he's getting out. And he can't hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. I got to stop. But let me give you these three things. Why don't you go to part D there? I want to give you three things about fasting, and then we're going to pray for some folks today because God's about to do something. Worship team, come back up here. That'll help me get done. Three things that we will discover through fasting. Number one, fasting reminds us of our humanity. You're human. You can't do it on your own. Number two, fasting humbles us. Number three, fasting is a sign of our desire to be all that Jesus wants us to be. I'm just summarizing those thoughts because I want to be mindful of some time, but I want to fulfill what I believe God has told us to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and I want the serious folks to get ready. Some of you walked in here this morning under a cloud. Walked in here this morning expecting it just to be a worship service, sing a few songs, hug a few people, and leave the door and leave here the same way you came. But when I declared to you probably about 45 minutes ago that you can leave here differently, something sparked in you that says, you know, I want that to be me. If that's you, why don't you raise your hand right now? that you want to leave here different today? Put your hands down. Before I even call you folks up here, we're going to minister to you. But I also want to talk to you people here that have gotten used to being downtrodden and beat up in a negative way of looking at life. That Jesus is here to set you free. In these next few weeks, I'm going to teach you some more about fasting, but today, this is the introductory piece. But I'm going to say something prophetically over someone that last week, and I can tell you it was on Wednesday, you were ready to end your life. He said, I can't take it anymore. I won't embarrass you by having you raise your hand, but I know you're here. And your choice of leaving here was drugs. You're going to overdose, now it's going to be it. The devil is a liar. God told me, today is your day to be set free. And if you respond to Jesus, or I should say not if you respond, when you respond to Jesus, all of that oppression for the last 35 years is going to go. Everyone praying with me right now. Seriously, intercessors that are here tonight, today. In the name of Jesus. Father, I proclaim today that in the introductory of this idea of fasting and prayer, Isaiah put it down, and he says that this is the type of fast that you would have us do. It's not just to forget about food and forget about the things we like, but it's to put our souls out there to really care about people that are oppressed, that are under bondage of things, and they have not been able to let go of. Lord, there are people that have those items in their purse or in their pocket right now. And Lord, you just help them decide whether they're going to leave them here at this altar today. That's not my deal. But Lord, today, every person that wants to be set free, Lord, you said they could be set free. The fasting that we're doing this next week is we're paying it forward for other people that haven't heard this message, that we will invite, that will fill the empty pew beside us, that they will come to this place of being set free by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they'll know liberty and freedom like they've never known before. But for now, Lord, we ourselves who have been heard this message, we want to stand in your presence today and say, God, it's me today. Every one of you that want to be set free, stand up right now. Stand up. Stand up in Jesus' name. Stand up right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. 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 Devil, you're a liar. She doesn't have to stay with you another day. There's two women right now that are struggling. I want you to stand up right now tell the devil, I'm done. I am done. It's not going to happen. In Jesus' name. In just a moment, we're going to sing the song, Jesus, Jesus, there's no one like him. But for those of you who are standing right now, I'm going to pray for you, and then when you come down here, there'll be other people that pray for you. But I see something coming upon for your freedom right now that you never, ever have to go back. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you said it. I didn't. I just verbalized what you put in my spirit, that folks would be set free, and for whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that they would accept this as a deposit of your love, of your grace, to send them forth in a new realm of freedom. And I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, everyone else stand with them. You folks that were standing now, come to this altar now. Come right now. Come in Jesus' name. Come. Come in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.